Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Living proof. The Bible says that the first man was made a living soul, but Jesus was called the second Adam, and he was made a life-giving spirit. Let me just skip to this. Go to Acts 1:3. And when he had risen from the dead, the scripture says this about him in Acts 1:3. See, hand me my Bible. Acts 1:3. He presented himself alive to them after he suffered, after his suffering, by many proofs. So not only is he a life-giving spirit, he believes in proving he is who he says he is. He does what he says he does. And for you, he can do for you what he had proclaimed he can do for you. Many proofs. Now, you know what's funny is that in almost everything in life, people want proof. They want proof of your identity. Two forms of identification. Bring a bill. You know, something with your name on it. You can't pledge or rush a fraternity or sorority without proving your allegiance to what you remember and what you endure. Everybody wants you to prove something. You have men who are constantly having to prove their love to women. Prove it. Show me something. Throw your jacket on a puddle. You know, help me out. I had to do a lot over 4 years to prove my love for Debbie. I felt like I was like a slave. I probably won't say that in the service she's in, but I was, you know, it was indentured servitude. But I was doing everything I could to prove my love. And when a man wants to really gain the affection of a woman, he wants to give her the knowledge that if it came down to her living or you living, you choose her to live versus you. So I saw this guy one time, boy, you know, they was out and it was getting a little sketchy where they was, and he wasn't saying nothing, and she had to step up. Yeah, they probably broke up. I don't know what happened, but he didn't prove it. See, it's just one thing you could do to give lip service. It's another thing when you show up and you deliver the deliverable, the love. Pastor Mike was telling me about the soldiers in Clarksville and how when they go and raid a home in other countries, what they find is that women, when they break in the house, are coming out to fight the soldiers. And guess where the men are at? Hiding. Just hiding. Get out there, baby. Don't tell them where I'm at. I'm upstairs in the attic. Die if you have to. It ain't right, is it? The Bible says that no greater love or proof of love have a man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. He says, for Christ laid down his life for us, therefore we ought to lay down our lives for one another. I love that God said, nobody takes my life, but I lay it down to redeem it. If I lay it down, I have the power to take it back up. It's proof of love when you're willing to lay it down. It's so funny that Jesus' proof of his strength and his wisdom and his love for humanity was not a violent proof. Though when I was growing up, if you wanted to be a part of a gang, you had to prove it by how violent you were, how strong you were, how capable you were of doing something of physical exertion and protection for a group of people you were proving that you had allegiance to. But Jesus came to the Roman Empire that was dominating the planet at the time, that was cruel and violent, crucifying people along the roads constantly, devaluing life. And instead of coming and using his angelic might, using the sword of his mouth, or using his ability to move the crowd to revolt, he used none of his mental strength to break them down. The only thing he did to bring life everlasting was lay his life down. This is historically verifiable, that there was a man named Jesus with disciples and that he laid his life down for what he believed. But it is contradictory to what he should have done if he wanted to see redemption. God has given us the insight into where living proof resides. It doesn't reside in who has the upper hand, the survival of the fittest, the you know, whoever's on top, stay on top. Somehow he showed us a new and a living way that was all about humility. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so therefore, Christians and Caesar and even Christ met in Colosseums. Not to duke it out, but for Christians to lay down their life. This is historically documented. This is living proof to redeem. When all they had to do is reject it, they're being eaten by a lion, saying the same things that their Savior said. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man, it's that type of life on the inside of you. I hope it's in me. I hope that when I saw that lion coming to bite my neck, did I want to say, time out? Let me think about this. No. I willfully said, Lord, forgive them. They're just insane. Christopher Hitchens, one of the world's most famous atheists who recently passed away, made a scandalous statement about one of Christianity's heroes, Mother Teresa. He says that Mother Teresa is a fraud because in her altruism, she diminished the value of her life for the people in Calcutta, laid down her life for them to have a better life, yet she's considered a fraud by an atheist, a leading atheist. Don't worry. You probably mad at him like I was when I read it. And if you saw him, you might want to, you know, just say, I'm going to repent after I slap him. That's the kind of thoughts that happen to me. I know that's not you. But that's all right. There's a guy named William Lane Craig. He's looking up, he's one of the greatest Christian debaters for creation and philosophy, and he can go up against anybody. And the Atheist magazine reported this after Christopher Hitchens, who insulted Mother Teresa, and William Lane Craig met. He said he spanked him like a foolish child. That's what they own magazines said. Spanked him. Because at the end of the day, if you're a leading atheist, cannot take on our leading Christian and come out with his own magazine being favorable of him, then maybe we have more proof than we think. It's not just an inactive proof, but it's a living, active, breathing proof. And how you know is how the word of God prevails and it grows and it travels and it gets bigger and it touches culture, it touches countries, and it touches lives. It's almost as if when you are a Christian, they don't want you to utilize your personal experience to explain God. But that is insane. I can tell you, I'll just make it personal. I am standing before you living proof that he lives and he does what he says he does and he'll continue to do it. Let me make it real simple. You're looking at a guy that should be dead or in prison or a drug dealer or a high-level criminal mind, because everybody in my environment, where I'm from, family, friend or foe, that's where 90% ended up. How did I get out? You're looking at a guy who is a special ed student. The short bus. Resource class. My mama told me last night, baby, I spent so much money to help you, and none of it helped. She told me that. I did not read my first book till I got to college. I said, I didn't read my first book till I got to college because I couldn't read before I got there. And I had gotten an athletic scholarship to Eastern Michigan University after taking the ACT test 8 times to get a 17.5 that rounds up to an 18. Because God had promised me and my mother that he was going to use me. Though I was the least likely to succeed, God got down on the inside of my heart and my brain and transformed it. And now I ask God, I remember the day that I was walking up a hill on my university before classes had started. I was just in training camp. I said, I have scratched my way to this point, but there's no way I will make it 2 weeks if you don't touch me. I made a covenant with God. I said, if I will read this Bible daily, though it is like picking up a Chinese dictionary, and I sat there with my best friend, Mike Thomas, and I would pull out this Bible, and I said, do you know what that word is? I would walk around to the other dorm rooms. Hey, tell me what that is. Until I scratched together greater comprehension. Because faith without works is dead. It's like God was giving me a miracle. He said, but work with me. Work with me. So don't be so impressed when you see me well-dressed and articulating a sermon as if I somehow arrived on my own accord. There is living proof. And every day you come in this church and every day you hear me pronounce and read, it's because God can take the foolish things of this world and confound the wise. I'm glad that I did not need the experience Paul had, where in order for him to believe, God had to knock him down and give him a physical vision of who he is. And while we proclaim Paul's greatness, this was a part of his weakness to me. Because the Bible says, blessed are those who believe and don't see. So I thank God that I didn't have to see anything to believe. I'm blessed because he can speak something, and I believe that he'll do everything he said because historically he's never been wrong. The Bible's a book of prophecies. And guess what? All of them that have been predicted up until this point have come to pass with a limited number waiting. That is so unbelievable. Nothing compares to it. There's living proof in culture. You know, John Lennon wrote the song, Imagine. There's no heaven, no hell, only sky. He's basically asking us to think of a world without God. Wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it be better? Let's imagine life without God. Well, we've already been there. As soon as the first man sinned, the next sin was a murder. That's immediately what happens without God. Murder. We look at a world where Vladimir Lenin, one of the founders of communism, is responsible for millions of lives being lost, more than any crusades, more than all the wars put together. And this is no new pattern. They were so bad during Noah's day, God said every one of their thoughts are wicked and evil at all times. You take God out. Bible said, where there's no law, there's no sin. If you have no restriction, you imagine, as Richard Taunton, who wrote the book Grace Effect, imagine if the whole earth had the water taken out of it. Where would the grace to furnish the earth be? Can you imagine? Go back 2,000 years ago. What was the condition? Well, children had no value. They were just something to be used for an adult's pleasure. Women, you know, America right now is making you forget where you have come from. But there are some other nations you can look at to see where a greater majority think your place is. That's without God in the world. Slavery and genocide, infanticide, all of these things just 2,000 years ago were continually happening over and over and over again. Jesus began to change it. Living proof. It is historically documented that Jesus said, suffer little children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Those with no value. He says, Jesus goes on to say, that it would be better for you that a millstone be cast around your neck and you be thrown into the depths of the sea than just to offend one of these little ones. The Bible says that Herod killed all of the babies 2 and under to get to Jesus. Pharaoh did it. But Jesus was corralling the children. So I'm telling you that if you are an abuser of children, if they have no value, a virus is in you. And while the grace of God can reach you, also you got a little judgment coming. Anytime I hire somebody to work with kids, and I've done a lot to kids' ministry, I ask them some basic questions. And people who don't want to do crimes against children always answer emphatically, no. I said, have you ever been in an inappropriate relationship with a child romantically? Have you ever touched them? Have you ever did something very abusive to them? Have you dreamed about it, thought about it? That's just a basic interview question. And I don't have any condemnation. I got grace. But the scripture gives you another something to go along with grace to help you control yourself. says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the sight of your eyes and the way of your heart. But know thou this, for all these things there is a judgment. He is a God of justice. That is living proof. Do you know that children have had such a low value that they were used to go work in the mines and go and do things that were unsafe? Jesus changed that. Jesus loves women. Every woman in here, I'd be like, oh, I love Jesus too. You ought to have just said that. You ought to wave the hand. Because your life without Jesus could be and would be radically different. Jesus leveled the playing field and brought us back to his original intent. He said, male and female created he them. He gave them dominion. Who told you, man, that you was greater than a woman? Just because God gave you a leadership position didn't make you greater. In fact, the leadership position is for you to be the greatest to serve. So wait a minute, who told you that? And what paradigm is shaping your mindset? For Jesus, in a culture that devalued women completely, was letting women follow him. He found a woman in adultery and forgave her. Found an unclean woman with an issue of blood that actually touched him, which would have made him unclean. And instead of turning around and say, don't touch me, he said, oh, who touched me with faith? He's somehow publicly acknowledging that I'm all right with women. I'm so all right with them that I'm going to show up and show myself to them first. I like how they talk about me. I like how they're not embarrassed to worship me. I'll let a woman, I know it's not a good practice, but a woman showed up at the well at the same time I do. And I didn't run from her, but I gave her the opportunity to have life. He values women. Where in other religions and cultures, like in Algeria, women only walk behind men. And the only time they can walk in front of a man is when they perceive there is a landmine. They let the woman get blown up first. That is a devaluing of life. Slavery. Bad booger. Nasty, vile thing. Jesus, however, or the Bible, the Word of God, is the first person that gives us insight into how we should be thinking about slavery. You know the very word redemption is a term of purchasing back. You were sold because of sin under the leadership of somebody else, Satan. His death buys you back. He then begins to meet the culture where they're at, and he begins to deliver the children. First time in history, listen to me, the Bible records the first time in history where God is freeing slaves, the children of Israel, million people plus walking out of Pharaoh's control. He records that he says that the slave owner and the slave are brothers. There is to be a way you operate within this culture that is broken until complete freedom comes. Look, he's made a change. He's made a difference. You got men like William Wilberforce. Thank God for this man. Because this man, though he's dead and I never met him, changed my life. Because if he did not fight in Europe for them to abolish slavery, 30 years later, America would not have followed suit. He was affected by our beloved John Wesley, and he was affected by John Newton, who wrote the song Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch, a slave trader like me. That's what he was. He had devalued human life to the point that he did not deserve life, but he found out that the grace of God will reach you wherever you are at, and he said, this is amazing. You wouldn't have the education that you have, the very university you go to. If it wasn't for the Reformation, people like Martin Luther, who fought for you to be able to read what the Bible. It is idiotic to exclude the very book from which we are basing our life on. It is foolishness. Is God there? It is a foolish statement. You know he's alive internally without me even saying much to you. God puts something on the inside of you to make you say, I need him. Charity. Do you realize even the word charity, love, is a biblical term, a biblical definition. You, anytime an atheist says, I love you, they're saying that God is real, because love is God and God is love, and he's defined what love is. It's idiotic. Sorry, I got upset on that one. Countries. Oh, I'm out of time. Country after country has been affected. Africa went from 8% to 45%. It's spreading the nation. Asia, after all of the communist stuff, 100 million Christians. 100 million. Latin America. Europe is on the uprise. And let me tell you something about America. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe everything they saying about your faith. Let me help you understand, in the most popular city in the world, New York, that had 8 churches in 1978, has 200 now. That's a lot. And they're predicting that it's only going to grow. When you hear that Christianity is on a decline, this is what you're hearing. Nominal Christianity. People who are posers and fakers and not true to the faith, they getting out because it got too hot in the kitchen. But statistics say we went from 31% to 45%. Oh, you winning, beloved. There are over 2 billion of you. You are the largest religion on the planet. It is living proof that a simple carpenter, a humble servant, laid down his life and changed the world generation after generation after generation. It is true. He is alive. He's alive in you. He's alive in me. It is not fake. It is real. He is risen. He has resurrected himself. Then he resurrected me. I have life eternal. This is not some movie where a man determined the ending. Oh, thank God. Just give me 4 minutes. And then if you need to get saved, you need to be thinking about it now. This is your altar call. You know who you are. You in every service, y'all, in every service. Just get saved. My mother is living proof. She fell blind as an atheist and cried out to God. Someone led her and helped her. And God gave her eyesight back before she said yes. She got my dad. My real father got involved in a cult. He wanted to sacrifice us. We had to run and hide and live with strangers and in cars. But God kept showing up for a single mother. Oh, Jesus. My mother worked at General Motors. She got hit in the head with a 2,000-pound machine. She didn't know who she was. As she was raising me, and she walked from place to place, and she said to me, she said, the only thing I can remember is I got 2 kids. And she said, if I don't show up, they're going to take them. So she showed up. Don't you understand what I'm trying to tell you? Living proof is God's ability to reach in to fallen man's life and make a difference and change it and make it better. If he were to leave, I'm leaving with him, because a life is not worth living without God. And if he's not going, I'm not going. And if he's staying, I'm staying, but I'll be with him. Why do I do what I do? It's because it's not enough for me to have made it. There's nothing you can give me. Don't take it the wrong way. I'm on top of the world. It's not about income. It's about who I know. And if you don't feel like you're on top of the world, you're not thinking right about your faith. There is nothing I cannot do or cannot achieve. I don't know how to say I can't. I don't know that, because he can. You can do all things through Jesus Christ, who gives you strength. Oh, beloved. Still stand up. It's out. I'm done. I wish that you would not neglect so great a salvation. So if you don't know Jesus, with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking but me, would you raise your hand, I might see you. Raise your hand if you don't know Jesus and you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Raise it up high where I can see it. You are hesitating, but thank you. Come on, raise your hand up. Leave it up. Nobody looking but me. Leave it up. Thank you. Come on, get it up. Get it up. God loves you too much to play around with it. Come on, get it up. 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 I'm waiting. Thank you. Come on, come on, come on. He's asking for you. Keep him up. Keep him up. Keep him up. Nobody looking but me. I want you to get out of your seat and come stand with me right now. Go ahead. If your hand is up, come stand with me now. Don't wait. It's a day of salvation for you. Come on, give God praise. I said, come on, give God praise. Come on, give God praise. I said, come on and lift him up. I said, come on and lift him up. I said, lift him up. He's just been too good. I said, lift him up. Oh, I said, lift him up. I said, oh, lift him up. I was born for this moment in your life. Every pain I went through in all the days that I decided to stay on the Lord's side was for your life. It only has meaning for me in these moments that I live for. For you not to fear that the pains of your past can keep you from your future. For he has come to give you life and to the full. Lord, I pray for these. Extend your hands to them. That as you add to this kingdom, that you would stir up the gift of God within them. That they would no longer walk in darkness, but in your marvelous light. That they be lifted up to a new place to do a profound work for God. For yes, there's a work in you, woman of God. Assigned before birth to be a bearer of good news. When your life has been filled with bad, God is now reversing it and giving you good. You will not be held out of your inheritance. Not one moment, not one day. For I, the Lord, have put a ring of fire around you and pushed back that which is evil trying to steal from you. God, Jesus. So bless him, Lord. In Jesus' name. Give God one more hand clap of praise. You guys follow him to that room. He's going to pray for you, and he'll send you back out. If you're here with them, you can meet them at that room. If a ministry team person can go get their stuff right there. Now, You're leaving here, but watch this. Paul went to Athens and confronted this mindset that rejected God in Acts 17. And he didn't come with great and powerful words. He came with the same thing, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the good news. You may not just be a pew sitter. You're not living just to eat, drink, and be merry, to have your kids in your house and your little doggy. You were born to be ambassadors for Christ. And if you don't have something burning down on the inside of your soul to see somebody come from darkness to light, then wake up, sleepers, and understand what life is all about. You're a part of the greatest organization on the planet. It is the Christian organization. It is headed by Christ himself. He is the greatest leader to have ever lived. Oh, Lord, bless us as we leave this place without your presence. Keep us in the center of your will and the apple of your eye, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Don't leave. Go up in the gym. Talk about the message. Go eat the breakfast we have prepared for you in our family meal once a month. But whether you go to the gym or you go out in your car, you are to talk about this, and you need to make a decision in your small groups of your home to live differently. God bless you.